Dr. Wagner said, I am Adam Helms from Texas A&M University in the Department of Soil and Crop Science. This morning I'm going to present my research on developing and testing a trafficability index for the Texas blackland prairie. My co-authors on this are Dr. Christine Morgan and Dr. Galen Morgan of Texas A&M, Dr. Kenneth Potter of USDA, and Mr. Archie Abramite of Stiles Farm Foundation. The Texas blackland prairie here in the darker green have soils that are very productive but also very challenging to manage. They are characterized by high organic matter, high water holding capacity, and high clay percentage. These characteristics, coupled with the long growing season we have in Texas, have given them the status of USDA prime farmland. And within the state of Texas, and this, as I said in the darker green here, we have 12 million acres, and within that 12 million acres, 11% of that is row crop. So to further elaborate on some of the challenges of producing on the Texas blackland prairie, Morrison in 1990 found that there was a narrow workable window of 22 to 32% gravimetric water content. Some of the further problems is when you work the soil when it's too wet, when you run through the field with equipment, you can get very bad compaction from your tractors and other equipment. Another problem is when you cultivate, you can produce very large clods. And one of the visuals of this, if you notice here and here, these two lighter marks in my plots, is because I plowed when it was a little bit too wet. And this bottom picture here is a close-up. This bottom picture was taken after disc and chisel treatment, a field cultivator, and again with a two-row tiller. So here you can see the clods that are left after the tillage, all the tillages where the tractor was and wasn't. Another problem which we have is called seed furrow sidewall compaction, and this is where a double disc opener would open the soil, compact it when it's too wet, and then the roller, the closer, couldn't close the soil properly, and I'll elaborate on this a little bit further. On the opposite end of that spectrum, working these soils when it's too dry can cause excessive equipment wear because of the high clay percentage. When they dry out, they get very, very tight and they're very difficult to work. So the purpose of my research is to develop a soil moisture index for planting, corn, and tillage events on the Texas blackland prairie, and also to identify the impact of soil moisture at planting on spatial root development as well as the emergence of corn. We hypothesize that planting at a high soil moisture will cause seed furrow sidewall compaction, which will reduce the root growth beyond the seed furrow channel. And as I said previously, that the seed furrow channel happens whenever the double disc opener goes through the soil, it's too wet, it compacts it, and then the closing wheel cannot properly close the incision in the ground. Additionally, we hypothesize that plants planted at too high a moisture will delay emergence. And this is again because of the opening and closing procedure. When it's too wet, you'll end up with poor seed to soil contact. The research was conducted at the Stiles Farm Foundation in Thrall, Texas. For those of you who don't know where Thrall is, it is northeast of Austin. The field is in a cotton and grain sorghum rotation, and these particular fields have been in no-tillage and conventional tillage trials for over 7 years now. It is a Burleson clay, it's a Vertisol, so we deal with a lot of shrink swell properties. The Blackland Trafficability Index was developed from experienced producers on the Texas Blackland Prairie. I did this by developing an index. I rated the numbers 1 through 5 from too dry to too wet. I would go out and meet with producers, have them rate a specific part of their field, and they would rate the index. I would take a soil sample, bring it back, oven dry it, and get gravimetric water content and volumetric water content. From this index, we picked the 3 workable soil moistures, which are dry workable, optimal, and wet workable, planted into 2 tillages, conventional and no tillage, and then replicated it 4 times. This was done with a John Deere MaxiMerge planter. Our plots were 3 meters squared, and they were further subsampled with a 0.4 by 0.2 by 0.15 steel box, which you can see here. These were then driven into the ground and excavated with an excavator, because as I said, when these soils are dry or wet, they're not much fun to work with. You can see here these holes where we took our soil samples. So once we excavated the soil blocks, we put them into an enclosed trailer and brought them back and put them in a growth chamber for 28 days. While they were in the growth chambers, we counted plant emergence. So as the plants emerged, we counted them every day to see how many had emerged. After that was done, after our 28 days in the chamber, we had delineated these steel boxes into three rooting zones. And here you can see we're cutting them open. After we dissected the soil blocks, the roots were washed, air dried, and weighed. And then finally, those were analyzed further by normalizing the root weights by plant number per steel box. And here you can see we have this area here is where what we called our seed furrow. And this is our outer furrow roots. And I am properly qualified to use a hammer because my tongue is sticking out of the side of my mouth. So an aerial view of our steel box, we have the inner 5 centimeters where our plants were as our in-furrow roots, and our what we called our outer furrows or root zone 2. A cross-sectional view has our planter box, our in-furrow roots, and outer furrow roots. This 5 centimeter here represents the depth at which the corn was planted. So we had a steel table or a steel stand that we would set these soil blocks over, push the planter box, the steel box down over, and then dissect the soil that way. The data was analyzed using NOVA and LSD on total root biomass, total shoot biomass, the ratio of root zone 1 to root zone 2 plus root zone 3, and finally the emergence rate index, and I'll explain that here further. The two I'm going to present today are they're bolded here at the bottom. First of all, in the results of the Blackland Trafficability Index, here we have our index of 1 through 5, 2 dry workable, optimal, wet workable, and 2 wet. And these are the three moistures that we recreated in the field using an irrigation system. And here it is in gravimetric water content and volumetric water content. The gravimetric water content was used to analyze the soil, and the volumetric content will be used to further incorporate this data into modeling. So here it is graphically. We have our gravimetric water content on the x-axis, the index on the y-axis, and you can see from 2 dry to 2 wet, there's a very positive correlation. And this was done in conventional tillage, strip tillage, and no tillage. These are the three principal tillages used in the Texas Blackland Prairie. So in our root ratio of root zone 1 over root zone 2 plus root zone 3, we have our 3 moistures and no tillage. So we have dry workable, optimal, and 2 wet and no tillage is the same thing in conventional till. We have our mean and standard deviation in grams. And in the no tillage soils, there was a significant difference between the dry workable and wet workable. And there was no difference in between the conventional. And this was all done at confidence intervals of 95%. And here is this graphically. Please neglect the G that shouldn't be there. I forgot to change it to root ratio. So we should have a root ratio on the y-index and gravimetric water content on the x-axis. And as you can see, there's no real there is actually no correlation in gravimetric water content to our root ratios. So our emergence rate index, the way this index works is as plants emerge, the index gives you a number. And the faster the plants emerge, the faster all the plants emerge, the bigger our number. So again, here we have our Blackland Trafficability Index between no tillage and conventional tillage, dry workable, optimal, and wet workable. There is no significant differences in the no tillage, and there's a significant difference in the conventional tillage between the dry workable and the wet workable. So graphically, we have a positive correlation between gravimetric water content and our emergence rate index. Now these points down here at the bottom that I have in boxes are because these were steel boxes that were placed inside of in one of the grow chambers that had a coolant problem, and it got a little bit too cold. And so basically this proves that corn planted at too wet and too cold is slow to emerge. So in summary, my Blackland Trafficability Index had a workable range of 17% to 26% gravimetric water content, as opposed to Morrison's, who had a 22 to 32% workable content. Planting at a higher soil moisture did not cause roots to concentrate in the seed furrow as we had hypothesized, but there has been a positive correlation between moisture and emergence. Future research includes an additional replication in time. The data that I presented to you this morning was actually 1.5 times. The first time that we did it, there were some logistical problems, as you can imagine, planting and trying to irrigate soil to specific water content. Further plan on doing wet aggregate stability of the moisture of the plots that were planted at different soil moistures, and then further incorporate this into the precision agricultural landscape modeling system. I would like to thank John Deere Agri Services, Texas A&M Agriculture Experiment Station, and Texas A&M Cooperative Extension for funding, as well as Jamie Applewhite, Daniel Hathcote, Katrina Hutchison, Leo Rivera, and Scott Stanislaw, many of who were in this room this morning. This was a very labor-intensive project, and if without them, this couldn't have been done. So, any questions?
We have time for a few questions. I had a question on the higher moisture contents. You showed a slide in the presentation where it seemed to be a pretty big range, and what I think it was what the farmers thought was, you know, not workable in range and moisture contents that kind of span. Is that, were they looking at their fields, or were you always taking them to the field that did the experiment?
This slide here, sir?
The next one. Yeah.
Yeah. This was done in their personal fields. Yes, sir.
Okay. So it was all as close to the same soil type?
Yes, sir. This is all farms that were that are on the Texas Black Land Prairie. The at the farm on the Burleson clay, the A layer is generally 55% to 60% clay content.
And the white color on the after tillage there on the gloves, yes. What's that?
I don't know what actually causes the color change. I'd be lying too if I tell you what it does, but you can. There's several times whenever you can drive along these fields and you can tell when everything have been worked too wet, because you can see those streaks through the field. So I personally don't know what causes that slight color change. No, sir. These are non-calcareous soils. Six inches, yes, sir.
And so when you excavated with the equipment, how did you assure the depth? It would seem that, how did you assure the bottom depth?
We would drive it in flush with the soil, and then I had another steel plate that we would slide across the bottom of it, and that would just cut the bottom.
So as you were excavating it?
I would remove completely, like what I'd probably remove 4 feet back. And then we had a steel plate that we would sit into the ground, and we'd use that excavator to push it across the bottom, and it would just pop them right out.
Is there any salinity in this area?
I don't. These are non-saline soils, no, sir.
That looks like a typical
And these fields were, before we picked them, these are very homogeneous. They were EM38ed to find out where the best area in this field was. So this is actually a several hundred acre field, and this is the area that was most homogeneous. So
that's a bird.
What's that?
That's a bird now. EM38.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, I'm back. I don't have a fix that. this time we still have some time remaining if there are questions for our first two speakers, and I'll go in reverse order. So do we have any questions for the second paper on the detection of subsoil compaction in agricultural lust soils by electromagnetic induction probing? Any questions for our second speaker? Ray? Any other questions for our second speaker? Oh, yes.
I'm assuming that second site being that you talked about, is that the agricultural lust derived?
Yes, both the sites. They have only measured from the site to get, and as I said, it's important to make measurements on other soil, maybe inhomogeneously the layer of soil.
Right.
The less it's uniform, it more or less has more or less the same particle size distribution, but because of soil development, the ET variety, which in may make signals by probing that are hard to interpret.
Okay, let's move back then to the first paper. On soil compaction and brassica cover crops. Do we have any other questions that we didn't cover during that paper? I have one question. What on the radish, what's the top growth biomass that you would obtain by corn planting and by soybean planting? You killed those cover crops prior to corn planting and soybean planting, and you mentioned you had a comment in there that there was no mulch that occurred from those from that radish. What? How much top? Did you measure top growth biomass? Okay. So they always winter kill then? Right. So before they winter kill, what sort of biomass do you obtain? Top growth? Okay.
About 5,000 kilograms per hectare of topsoil.
Oh, okay. And that's and by the time you're planting corn, there's very little evidence of residue there. Okay.
So if you're doing this because the colder regions or where spring temperature is a problem, you would measure considerably warmer temperature. Drier, not out there, it's warmer. And in some ways, that's beneficial.
Okay.
Where you had that picture of us, you radishes, you were holding the radishes down on the left. I mean, one of them was shorter, very stubby growth on the end. What treatment did that
come? Yeah, heavy.
Very heavy.
Yeah.
So that compaction absolutely, in judging from the length of that radish, big part, how deep.
Robert?
Yeah, Ray, I've got a question for you. Could you give us a more
is there a crown portion to radish? Does it have that morphology that there's a, or is it just the shoot and the root? Is that interface there? Is that a crown at all? Okay.
It's not a picture of it. I believe you would call that a crown, but everything below that is a plant story.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Well, I'd like to thank the speakers for their presentations and for staying on time. And I'd like to thank the audience for their attention and for their participation. Have a good day.